Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. And we will be focusing on the whole counsel of God. We'll pick this up in its context in verse 25. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. This is the Apostle Paul speaking here. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So this is the Apostle Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. Paul was diligent to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ simply, clearly, without omission or addition. Therefore, he had fulfilled his duty as a spiritual watchman. We have it in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which he has done, shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn a righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also you will have delivered your own soul. The Apostle Paul challenges the elders to do likewise, not to fail in their charge to preach the gospel in season and out of season, to preach the gospel who are willing to hear it and who are maybe not so willing to hear it. The leaders of the people must always be examining their own hearts and their own motives. And they must know well the Word of God and Bible doctrine and hold firm to true convictions as God has revealed them to us in his word, the truth, the Holy Bible. For the people must be instructed and the truth must be defended. Not only from this pulpit, but in your house, in your workplace, and wherever you go. Against the naysayers, the false teachers, and the preachers with ill motive. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, in other words, a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It is essential in the church that the whole counsel of God be taught, learned, and applied. And it is essential for every Christian and those who profess to believe upon his name to do their due diligence to make sure that what they hear and what they read is truly that which is in the book. See, we have an epidemic in this country today in professing Christendom. Professing Christians are too lazy to investigate, to determine truth from error. Professing Christians too often go after the next new thing and the next new fad at the expense of the great old story. To wit, the whole counsel of God shall be defined and applied. The whole counsel of God defined in its complete sense is the divinely revealed objective truth contained in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Though the book that we hold in our hands, in our laps, is broken up into 66 books, it is one book, and it has zero contradictions. The Holy Bible is like a 66-piece puzzle that when we put it all together and it is completed, we have a perfect picture of Jesus Christ, our God, our Lord, our Savior. Now, to be sure, the church places more stress on the New Testament than the Old Testament. Maybe not so much here, but I'm a little strange. But there is not one page, not one word that we will ignore if we value our own souls. Now, in our context, we read of the desire of some to pervert God's truth. Now, why in the world would somebody want to pervert God's truth? Well, there's a million reasons why. The main thing, I think, that we can say is that they don't possess the truth to begin with. And so, we must be careful to include in our understanding the whole counsel of God regarding our doctrine. How all of the puzzle pieces of God's truth fit together. You know, when you're doing a puzzle, you begin with all of you get the corner pieces, right? And then you do the edges, and then you work your way into the middle. You get some of the pictures that you can make out a little bit clearer, and you do those sections first because the colors are jumping out at you. And then you begin to work from there. And you work out the whole puzzle until the whole thing is complete. And so it is. We must not teach only some of the doctrines of our God in Christ while ignoring others. We cannot preach the Savior without ever mentioning the cause for which Christ Jesus came into the world. Amen. To save sinners. How can we preach about a Savior if there's nothing to be saved from? But all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hence, the state of every man and woman as sinner is the reason for the universal need for the Savior. We have the love, grace, and the mercy of the Almighty in the pages of Scripture. In such do all men and women enjoy in measure. Though believers in a greater, in a special sense, for the Christian is part of the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. But our God is also to be feared with holy, reverent, respectful fear, for he is just. Therefore, he cannot wink at sin, but must mete out consequences. How many people have gone to the grave with prideful hearts, calloused by sin? How many people are on their way there today? How many of you are on their way there today? How many people do you know who are on their way there today? Now eternally separated from God, either in truth or positionally. And this by their own choice. Do you see the folly in this? But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Believer, your peace with God and joy in the Christian life are found in large part through confession of sin. All day confession. It's not such a bad thing, right? We've heard it advertised. Now, we don't endorse necessarily confession before men, although one can voluntarily confess to a brother or sister in Christ a particular sin if they choose to do so. They want to be held accountable for reasons such as that. But we do well to enter into all-day confession before our high priest, Jesus Christ, the mediator of the covenant, a true and greater covenant ratified by his blood. The whole counsel of God teaches such doctrines as the revelation of one eternal God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is written, for there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Apostle John tells us who the Word is, very first couple of verses, in his Gospel, words Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Therefore, it is a true saying, I and the Father are one, as Jesus Christ spoke it. In the bodily resurrection of the Word, who is Jesus, God incarnate, is the surety of the resurrection of those who are his to be with him the moment the spirit departs from body at death. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Amen. Now come to our second point. The whole counsel of God applied. We shall not tarry here long. Get right to the heart of the matter. I trust that your blood shall not be on my hands this morning. That the essential aspects of the gospel have been set forth. But do not be deceived, friends. Do not think that God's grace is of little cost. God's grace cannot be purchased for 30 pieces of silver or by some work which you do. Rather, think of God's grace in terms of the blood sacrifice of Jesus. That great cost. Believer, grace is yours. You have been sealed with the salvation of God by the Spirit. You have passed from death into life. Salvation and heavenly hope you cannot lose. But discipleship, becoming like Jesus more and more, is your calling. And you must do it. If you are truly a Christian, you always want to do it. So let me ask you this. Do you always want to do the will of God as you go about your daily business? Is that where you're at? If that's where you're at, then you're acting like a disciple. If it's not, something's wrong. The Apostle Paul gives you a piece of advice. Therefore, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not work for your own salvation, but work out your own salvation. And if you never want to do the will of God, you've got bigger issues than this. Take heed to yourself and examine yourself whether you be in the faith at all. Perhaps if you never desire to do the will of God, God is using the conviction of that fact to bring you to the cross so that you can be justified and begin that road to Christian discipleship. Be sure to settle that matter with God today. Because if as a believer you've gone down that road where you don't want to do the will of God at all times, or worse, you never want to do the will of God, and so you've been exposed this morning as a professor only, settle it now. Before your heart hardens to the challenge. God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to preach your word, speak your word, hear your truth. I pray that the gospel message goes out with clarity, not only this morning, but every single week and every single day in all that we do and say. Lord, may we be up to the challenge if we've become backslidden or perhaps exposed as hypocrites. Lord, lead us to the foot of the cross. May we from this day forward believe upon your Son Jesus Christ in truth. Come to God through Him. And walk that walk of discipleship in sincerity and in truth. May we heed the whole counsel of God, not taking the parts we like and the doctrines we like and omitting the rest, but taking seriously in reverent fear every single thing, every single word that you've written for our edification. Encouragement, instruction, and correction. Lord, may this body also be knit together by these things, that we might present a unified witness to the watching world. We pray in the name of our great Lord, our awesome God, and our only Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.